all. It is a Starship Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis, and Anna DeVlantis is
back.
Here.
Good to be back. Just in time, Anna.
Oh, that's right.
It's a special sort of thing that goes on around this time of the year, this month in particular. Are we close?
It's Rob Martire's birthday. You're 100% right.
How
that is
sweet.
Correct.
It is Rob Martire's birthday, and we want to wish him a happy birthday.
Everyone's waiting for him to come in. We're behind
the whole station. Guys.
Is there a cake? A surprise cake? Oh, gosh. You've got a big surprise.
Did you notice that Rob Martire was in Sneed today for a happy birthday mention that we were able to get in there for him?
Sweet.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah.
But guys, it's also another really important person's birthday.
It's my birthday
and George Washington.
And we haven't celebrated your birthday, not nearly enough.
We haven't.
Anyway, is it your birthday?
It's just coming up.
Is today the birthday?
Yes, today is the real birthday.
That's
2/22/92. Okay,
that's
easy to
special.
Remember.
Yeah, we have to celebrate.
708-888-0000.
That's a knee place.
She doesn't have any knee and joint pain yet.
No, I
at
don't.
At the age of 26?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm already having it in my ears right now from just this. Well, we did something special for you, Violetta.
You did?
This being your birthday, yeah.
What is it?
We put together a little... I know. Oh, it's a surprise. Oh, how did you guys know it was my birthday? Well, you remember what happened at the NBA All-Star game on Sunday night, right? You remember this?
Yeah.
Oh, say, does that stop?
Right? Okay.
Fergie.
Remember that, Fergie?
Oh, yeah.
Fergie. Right?
Unusual rendition.
And everybody said that it was like, she was like a kind of doing a happy birthday, Mr. President thing.
Yeah.
Remember? People
yeah.
thought that. So we thought, well, what would be more perfect than to kind of combine the whole thing, right?
Oh, it's a very special day here at WGN. And I'm here in Suite 720 to wish somebody a very happy birthday.
Yay!
Bear with me, folks. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Oh, to you.
Right to you.
Oh, God.
Happy birthday.
What's her name?
Violetta. Oh, happy birthday to
wow.
you.
Oh, gee.
I'm dating.
How old are you?
That gets pretty good.
She's nasty. Are you?
That's
how old are you? Don't tell me. How old are you? Oh, been so long since I wish somebody a happy birthday, but I figure I should do it right here now.
Yeah, why not?
And turn the lights down a little low here.
Yes.
So you can just feel how I feel and get the mood right.
I feel like I need a dance.
Oh, made a good
I feel
low.
Like I need a cigarette. I feel like I need a shower.
Yes, you. Oh, made a good low. Bless you. Made a good law. Whoa, 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 whoa. Bless you.
Sing it.
Made a good law. Bless you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ooh, that was wonderful.
We hired the purple guy from the Dr. Pepper commercials, and so we got him to do this for you. That's
I feel
great.
Serenaded.
Yeah.
I heard a little Barry White in there.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It really was.
That was actually his grandnephew, Larry White, was the guy singing there.
Well, thank you, guys. That was such a nice thing to do. I only dropped subtle hints that today was my birthday, so I'm glad that you guys picked up on it.
I'm surprised Violetta didn't say, what else do you have planned for my birthday?
No, I'm really a simple person.
She's thinking it.
No, I am
a
simple...
We have a plan, by the way. It's a funny thing that you mentioned this, because a week from Monday is our Saturday Night Live show at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to stretch Violetta's birthday into the next month, that's the night that we're going to go out and take her out.
But it's March. Yeah, okay. I get it. Her birthday's all of February and part of March.
Well, because February is a short month, so it makes sense that you extend it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Especially
seriously,
to the next
are you trying to make my head explode? Really? Now we got to go into March?
We have to go into March. Well, we have to go because we didn't think we'd get Kevin back in time. We just don't know when he gets back.
Yeah, and everything has to be about Kevin.
Oh, really? Because on the show, that's true, isn't it?
Everything's
all about
Kevin
right.
on my birthday, but whatever.
Yeah. Kevin, really, this whole thing. Oh, what about Everybody Loves Kevin? Is it, they're going to rename this show that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
What am I, chopped liver over here?
Yeah.
You're going to have like 17 birthday celebrations over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm actually almost getting exhausted by my own birthday.
I want to just ask right now to those listening, mm-hmm. you're in your cars, maybe you're in your home, you're wherever you happen to be,
yeah.
and you're like, oh my God, this sounds just like my kids. Right? Because at home right now, you've got like a 17 and a 15-year-old,
uh-huh.
and that's exactly what's going on.
I hope I never lose this fire. I want to do it until forever.
That's actually a good way to look at it. My mom does that. She celebrates her birthday for the entire month.
My kind of girl.
Yeah, you hope you never lose this fire. Everyone else around you hopes you lose
I know.
This
you
fire.
Guys are waiting. You're like, is she going to get tired of this?
Gonna ever going to grow out of this?
It's okay for it's you to phase. Celebrate it. Just don't make us do it.
I'm not.
How about that?
I'm not.
After 21, I stopped caring.
Oh, gosh. How old are you, Kevin?
I'm an old man. 28. I remember when I was 26 a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. No big deal.
Such a bright future.
Yeah, they're 2 years apart right now. That's the part.
I think they'll always be 2 years apart.
Yeah. Well, they're three. They're three grade years away from each other.
Okay.
That, again, that's the way you do it. Is with like I'll only have right now. I feel lucky that I'm only for 1 year. Am I going to have both of them in college at the same time? That's the way I'm kind of looking at this. Oh. All right.
And I get all the hand-me-downs, whatever's left over.
Yeah.
And I need a victory lap of fifth year as well, so that may present some problems as well.
Oh, God. All right. Here is...
thank you guys anyway for all the birthday wishes so far.
Here is Judy Pilak in the WGN newsroom telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
WGN TV News tonight. An untraceable gun bought online with no background check. How is that legal? WGN TV investigates tonight at 9.
Then Bradley will be here in just a few minutes to explain that to us, actually. Pretty interesting stuff.
It is an interesting story.
Michael Steele joins us right now, straight off the set at the MSNBC, and he used to run the Republican Party, and he's the happiest man alive that he no longer does. let me ask you a couple things here. Obviously,
I was going to say, which level of stupid do you want to start with first?
I want to ask you this because this is the debate today. Should the president says that the NRA is open to discussing a number of things? Because he wants to ban bump stocks, move the age of long guns to federally to 21 to be able to buy that, and also, you know, work on background checks.
Mm-hmm.
And the NRA has just come out and said, no, we didn't agree to any of that. But then the president is tripling down on this idea. No, we need to do is arm the teachers, especially the crazy gym teacher that's always out of control. Anybody who has ever been in school knows. Anybody who's ever gone to school knows this is a bad idea, and it's only designed to sell more guns. That's all it's designed to do.
All right, so that's the stupid idea to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this is something that I don't suspect the president is all that serious about in the long run, and I say that for a variety of reasons, based on how he approached yesterday, and what he said. At some point, even though they give you notes, and I'm not going to criticize the president for having notes. Okay, fine. Okay, but at some point in that hour, in listening to that testimony. From fathers who lost daughters, from young men who lost their best friend, that there is an emotional connection that you make where you kind of put the card down and you begin to understand why what they're asking for is so important. And you give it the kind of policy context that they know, A, you get it, B, you're prepared to do something. And so when you put out on the table that the way to solve the problem with mass gun shootings in schools across the country, given particularly the number that we've had since the beginning of this year,
mm-hmm.
that solution rests with arming the very teachers in the classroom. You cannot be less serious, because that, if anyone objectively looking at it, regardless of your position on the Second Amendment, regardless of your position on gun laws and gun control, know that the last thing you want to do is turn a classroom into the OK Corral.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Right.
I mean, it, that's the end of that discussion.
You know, it's so funny.
And people seem to, and just one other point, people seem to overlook, and a lot of the folks who've been you know, talking about, well, let's get armed guards at the desk, let's get people at the door. Remember, this school had someone who was armed.
Yes.
On the premises.
Yeah, and there was somebody, there's one person, and then there's somebody who's having a day off. You know, Chicago public schools and private schools in the city of Chicago, there are police assigned to those. That's their beat. You know, this is not an unusual circumstance to have around the country. You know what? If I were in Florida, I'd really stir it up. I'd say, you know what we're going to do is we're going to assign, depending on the size of the school, you know, one police officer for every 500 kids in the school or whatever that happens to be, however that works out, mm-hmm. or two police officers per 500, whatever it is. And we're going to pay for that with a 1% income tax. And then I would drop the mic and run away in Florida just to see what they do with that.
Well, I mean, I come from a family of educators and people who have and do work in Chicago public schools and elsewhere. I can only imagine if this became part of their responsibilities to try to determine when to shoot or don't shoot. Because remember, not every school shooting is this profile, somebody who shows up with the AR-15 and unloads. What if a kid brings a handgun to school? Are you supposed to shoot that kid if you feel in fear for your life or danger for another student?
Right.
How do you put teachers in that
And
position?
You have to train those teachers because then they're going to be on the line for all of the liability here. You have to train those as peace officers.
All of it.
And the other first responders, Marco Rubio, you know, God bless him, brought this up last night. Mm-hmm. It seemed like the only adult in the room, even though he looks like a teenager. He was like, what happens when the first responders get there and they see an adult with a gun? What are they going to do? Right? I mean, how do you know at that point what to do or who to aim at? Now, and the other thing, too, is I do like this because this, you know, this is coming from the world of, the Trump base that might go in for this. There is no greater percentage of people than in the Trump base that hate the teachers in public schools, right? Because they're teaching them all this crazy stuff that they don't agree with.
Right.
And they're going to give those people guns, too?
Right.
I don't think so. There is it just the whole thing doesn't really work out. But you know, he wants to do something here. He's now up against the NRA, who's pushing back on him already today. And
right. Nothing's going to get done on this point. I think you're absolutely right with respect to the NRA. The NRA responded to the president's idea of raising the age for legal possession of firearms to 21. And within 45 minutes of his statement, they had a statement out saying, well, no, that's not happening. We're not going there.
Right.
The White House tried to push back some more today. The president reiterated that's what he wants to do. If you listen to CPAC, which is now turned into an NRA convention, it's very clear that that is going to be a very, very bright line that, in their view, they will not support anyone who crosses it. So this is going to be a very interesting moment for a lot of Republicans, but even more broadly elected officials, because I think what is going to happen is, and you're seeing the seeds of it, we'll see how it germinates and develops, but I think these young people are different from anything that has come before in terms of the kind of response to gun shootings. And why this is so different, I think, is because these kids, unlike what we saw even at Columbine, and certainly at Sandy Hook, where you had, you know,
kindergartners,
first graders and second graders, yeah. Right, shot, is that they are giving voice to their friends, their brothers and sisters, and their teachers who were killed.
Right.
And that is something that's very different. You also have the image of a young student, a young girl who caught shrapnel behind her eye.
Mm-hmm.
That image, now you have a victim who's still alive. And is wearing the scars of that attack.
Yeah.
So you have the reinforcement of that message, not just through the words that the students are saying, but you have the imagery now of someone who survived it, who was injured, that reinforces that as well. And I think that changes this. I think you're going to see this thing spread to high schools across the country over the mm-hmm. next week.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big march planned here on Washington. I think that's good. I think it's positive. This generation of millennials/centennials are going to be the difference maker in the gun debate. And here's the rub. There ain't a damn thing the NRA or Republicans in Congress can do about it except accept it unless they want to be put out of business.
Yeah.
Well, you had to deal with the NRA every day when you were the head of the Republican National Committee, because they are constantly working on every level of politics, municipal, state level, federal level, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get into the granular level of this, trying to make sure that there's fidelity to their cause, at least amongst Republicans, if not everybody else that they can affect or threaten. Right.
And this
is the way that they have operated for years. And the honest to God truth about this is that this the NRA is a racket to sell weapons. It's all it has ever been. It represents the manufacturers and distributors. It doesn't represent the individuals, because the individual but they scare you with this notion that they're going to come grab your guns, they're going to take everything away. It's all or nothing with them. And the reality is that there are some common sense things they can do. They don't want any one of their brands, any one of the brands or any one of the styles of weapon to come off the market, because that hurts the manufacturer. But this gun, the AR-15, which was at one point the M16, right? It's modeled on the M16 frame, was not readily available, right? There was a ban on that.
Yeah.
And that ban was
commercialized it.
Right.
And then they banned it.
Right. And then the ban was lifted. And so this wasn't always readily available. And the courts have constantly seen they're not going to grab away. And the NRA should be doing this. The NRA should say, listen, we're willing to give up on certain things, but we will not give up on people being able to own handguns to protect their homes or long rifles to protect their homes. With 17 rounds or whatever it's going to be. Marco Rubio brought that up last night. He's going to get whacked over the head by this. And they get these people who just consistently fall in line behind them and go, yeah, that's right. They don't even understand what they're standing for, except for the fact that they're standing with these people who say that, my freedoms are going to be taken away. And they are not being taken away. They're modifying what it is to make sure that, and again, it may even a hunting rifle that is going to have 17 rounds in it or whatever, you can always change the rounds out quickly or the magazines out quickly. But it's the issue is something here has to be done, because people are standing up in this generation. You're right, is great.
It's not going away.
Michael Steele, thank you very much. Appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
take
Michael.
Care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Right now, Judy Pilak standing by. She's got WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. Con Show with Hannah DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Ben Bradley joins us now for the WGN TV newsroom, where we're going to talk about this story you've got coming up tonight, Ben, on the 9 o'clock, about the ease by which one can buy a handgun on the internet that all you need are the bullets, and it's this handgun doesn't require any kind of real kind of rules around it, does it?
And it's not just a handgun. You can buy automatic weapons like an AR-15, like the weapon that was used down in the Parkland, Florida shooting. So these are called ghost guns. And for the last couple of months, our investigative producer has been looking into just how easy it is to buy basically all the parts you need to build a gun. And you do it without needing a background check, without having a firearms owner identification card. And the gun doesn't have a serial number, which means it is untraceable. So there are a number of companies online that sell these so-called ghost guns. And what they do is they get around the law by sending you a weapon that is only 80% finished. You have to do the rest. It's essentially a make-your-own-gun kit, but they've done 80% of the work. It was as simple as putting in our credit card number. We ordered one, wound up on the front door a couple days later. We basically, with a drill, a sander, and a couple of other tools that most people would have in their garage, over the course of a couple of hours, were able to complete the weapon. We built a Glock 9mm handgun.
Is it actually a Glock frame and everything?
Yes.
So they buy the pieces from Glock, essentially, like a gunsmith would buy. And they just send that to you with instructions?
Oh, there's instructions. There's online YouTube videos that kind of take you through the whole production process. So we built this gun over the course of a couple of hours, and then took it to a local gunsmith and a gun range who checked it out for us. And then we fired it on the range. And this gun is indistinguishable from any other handgun that you might come across on the streets. The big difference being, you don't need a background check, you don't need a FOID card, and if it is uncovered, if it is found to be involved in a crime, it's untraceable because the weapon has no serial number. So you can see the appeal, not just to, you know, a gun lover who might enjoy the mechanics of building your own gun, much like you have a car lover who might, you know, want to do something similar. But there's also appeal to people on the other side, the dark side of this. And one of these ghost guns was, in fact, used in a shooting by a guy with a criminal record who wouldn't have passed the background check, wouldn't have been able to legally buy a gun. He got a ghost gun, so involved in a shooting. Several people were killed.
Oh, my gosh. See, that's the danger of it, is that there's so many dangers you can see. I know that, I believe Connecticut was thinking about cracking down on these, and so several states, this is on their radar, and legislation is being considered. On a federal level, it's still obviously allowed, or you wouldn't have all these companies. Are there a number of companies that it's pretty easy to find, in other words, and a number of companies offering this product?
Incredibly easy to find. You know, the other question, you know, that we came across is this whole notion of, let's face it, guns are fairly easy to come by if you know where to look on the streets of Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. And you can buy illegal guns. People are doing it every single day in our city. I think the Chicago Police Department recently set a record for the most guns taken off the streets. That gives you a sense of just how many are out there.
Right.
And those guns are relatively cheaply priced. You know, you can get a gun on the streets of Chicago for just a couple of $100. What you can't get on the streets of Chicago is a gun without a serial number. I mean, yes, they get obliterated and they get taken off, but, you know, this is a different way in which people who shouldn't be having guns can get them. To your point, Anna, yes, there are some people who are looking at tightening up the laws. In fact, we talked with an Illinois.
Is this legal, technically?
This is legal, yes. The ATF says this is 100% legal because, again, they get around it by saying they're not shipping you the gun. Mm-hmm. They're shipping you gun parts, but it's 80% complete. So they must have had lawyers someplace that determined 80%. That 80% number was the sweet spot.
Gee.
So and everything you need for full construction is in there.
Correct. Yeah, we didn't have to go out and buy a single thing. You do have to, you know, get ammunition, and you need a FOID card to do that. But certainly. People who are intent on getting around the law generally do it, and this is one incredibly easy way. It's essentially a mail-order gun.
Well, can you make your own bullets, too? I suppose you could.
I guess bullets might not be that hard to come by either, of what you're explaining here, too. Is that part of your report, Ben?
Yeah, we didn't get into the ammunition side of it just because we thought it was so interesting to be able to show people the ease with which this can be done and, you know, how there's not a lot at this point that's being done to stop it. And if you look at some of these websites that are selling these ghost guns, they use this as a marketing tool. You know, they advertise the fact that they are untraceable. One guy in his, you know, online sales pitch says, you know, this is great because everybody should have a couple of guns that the authorities don't know about.
Hmm. Right. That's one of the arguments that is made by people in the in certain corners of the gun culture, which is that the reason that they want to that we have to license these things, or that we have to, you know, that when we go and fill out all this paperwork, is so they know where we live and they can come grab our guns from us when the government's going to, you know, take away all the rest of our rights. That's the argument that they use.
Right.
My argument is, when the government's willing to go do that, we got bigger problems.
Yeah.
Right. A handgun is not going to stop you from the government rolling up in a armored vehicle. Intent on taking your weapons away.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Or throwing your family out of the country. We'll see how that goes. All right. The other piece of information here that is coming to us at this very moment is that the Mueller investigation has just released new indictments. But these are new indictments for already charged people. You got Rick Gates and Paul Manafort. New indictments against them. Mm-hmm. A series of them. I've just been handed this. Hold on one second.
I just saw a bit on it. It sounds like they relate to alleged financial crimes.
Tax violations.
Yeah, it's a superseding indictment. So some of this has been out there before, but certainly they're going after them in some new ways.
Right. This is all tax and perjury charges that have been added here to Gates and Manafort. Now,
which is interesting because, you know, Gates was supposed to flip by all accounts, right?
Well, this may be part of it.
Right.
I mean, they're letting us know what the charges are. This is a the sort of thing I don't think you have to need a legal analyst to figure this out. When they drop,
oh boy.
When they drop,
here we go.
When they drop a story,
the Montessori Law School is about to come out.
Yeah, here we go.
Rokan School of Law.
Mm-hmm. The well,
Your Honor.
Hey, Your Honor.
Listen, I just did a traffic ticket case down there in the basement of the Daily Center, which makes me very qualified to talk about superseding indictments as they relate to national security and a special counsel.
Your Honor, my client, Mr. Manafort.
Nice guy.
I mean, very good guy. He's got three kids at home. I don't think we should. I think we should just let him go right now, Your Honor. here's the thing that we've already heard that Gates was cooperating. Now you get to see how many things he has pled to. If you're Manafort's lawyer, you're looking at this and you see, okay, he pleaded out to this, and this. It's related to stuff that you've now been indicted on. So he's going to turn evidence against you. And then the lawyer, if a good lawyer says to Paul Manafort, okay, here's what you're looking at if you fight this.
Yeah.
You're looking at a very low likelihood of being successful. It's going to be fairly expensive. And if you are found guilty because you fight it as opposed to cutting a deal, you may spend the majority of the rest of the years you have left on Earth in federal prison. So,
it's persuasive.
What can we offer them?
It's relating to their work as political consultants and lobbyists for the Ukrainian government.
Yes.
They're saying their foreign bank and financial accounts added up to bank fraud in addition to false income tax returns.
Right. And now the White House will say this has nothing to do with us. This is all stuff they did well before we were involved with them.
Well before we chose to hire him to run our campaign for the presidency.
He was
of
barely
the
part of the campaign, Ben.
Yeah.
Didn't you get that memo from the White House? We didn't even know. Which one is Manafort?
Coffee boy.
Yeah, it's
that, a lot of those.
But now the question is, if you are somebody else, maybe not the president, but somebody else in the maybe the president's family or somebody in the campaign who had conversations with Paul Manafort about things, or Rick Gates about things that you know may have pertained to the Russians or involvement or money or where the money was going. You know, this is a time where you're calling your lawyer. And the other piece here, too, this is important to note. They're looking at money laundering with Ukraine, or Ukrainians, essentially. You'll remember that Donald Trump, I know that you can find this article, bragged a couple of times during the campaign. And he bragged specifically about selling, you know, I don't know Russians, I've sold them some apartments over the years. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we remember.
Well, he sold, in terms of apartments in New York, yes, including one in which Paul Manafort was living in the Trump Tower. And in terms of Florida, he did sell a house that he bought for like beachside piece of property for $25 million. In that was distressed. The guy was going bankrupt who Trump bought it from. And then turned around and sold it to a Russian for close to $100 million. Now, the argument could be there, well, that's, you know, that was just, you know, the guy
he
was willing
nice
to pay
upgrades,
it.
He did some nice upgrades. Yeah. Gold fixtures in the bathroom.
And I'm a smart business guy, and that's the kind of thing I do. That's one argument for that. That's one defense of this. The prosecutorial perspective on this is going to be, what? You did what?
Mm-hmm.
So you made $75 million in a profit in one transaction from this oligarch, and you're saying to me that you had no other relationship with him? Okay. I think
all of these indictments are a roadmap that tells you where Robert Mueller is going.
Yes, it's going closer and closer and closer in this direction. All right, so that's it. I anticipate there are going to be more indictments tomorrow or Monday, by the way.
More against the same
just
people?
Tell you what, that Montessori School of Law gives you some incredible insight, Rob.
Just saying, if I were to guess, yeah. Tomorrow about this time or Monday about this time, you're going to be calling me going, how did you know that?
All right. We'll mark it down.
Right. All right. Mark it down.
All righty.
All right.
I got to go do the news at 4.
Yes, you go do it. Sorry, Ben.
We'll watch for your report tonight, Ben.
Yep. Thank you. You'll see that ghost gun story tonight at 9 on WGN.
Right. There it goes. Ben Bradley right there. Right now, Judy Pollack tells us what's coming up at the top of the hour news.
Let's just go to Animal Sounds for 600. This is the sound a doggy makes. Mr. Connery, moo. No.
Well, that's the sound your mother made last night.
Okay, that's not necessary.
Oh, my God. And maybe the best bit of all times, the Jeopardy bit with...
Daryl Hammond and Sean Connery. That reminds me that coming up a week from Monday, we are doing our show live from the Museum of Broadcast Communications, downtown Chicago, State and Kinsey. And we'd like you to join us because we are doing it from the Saturday Night Live exhibit. And we're going to be playing News or Ruse from the Jeopardy set.
And you can sit at the Weekend Update set, too.
Yep. Judy's going to do her news for the Weekend Update set.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
You bet it is.
Yeah. It's going to be a ton of fun. So right
and
now.
And are you ignorant?
Coming up, caller number 19 right now. This is right now, actually. Right now. Caller number 19 and caller number 20 at 312-981-7200. Rip us off for tickets to pair of tickets each to join us. 312-981-7200.
Cheerleading outfits. I'm excited to see all the stuff they've got out there.
It is a really cool exhibit.
You've seen
really
it already?
Cool. I was there for the run-through.
The site survey, as they call it?
Yes.
Check out the
site survey.
Was there alcohol involved in the site survey, or did you just show up and walk around? Probably because you're
choking.
Hold on.
I think I lost him.
I will explain what happened here. I was Violetta was just at. Tom, are you with us?
I am. Okay. Yes. Are you all right?
Oh my God!
Are you choking on some candy?
No. You know. Oh God.
Is it a cabbage roll?
No.
Because if you're choking on the candy,
we'll be really mad to hear that.
Violetta passed out little birthday gifts to us It's her birthday, which I thought was very sweet. On her birthday, she gave us gifts.
Well, mm-hmm. they're goodie bags.
They're goodie bags.
And in them there are
nuts or something like
that.
Yeah, this candy has nuts.
Ro, I think this was a plot by Violetta. You know, she's been laying, you know, in wait, waiting for an opportunity to do this to you. You know, so
he fell for it, Tom.
I know.
Well,
I think you could.
Choking on?
She gave us scratch offs. I'll tell you what it is. She gave us scratch offs. I just won $50 on the scratch off.
You have to share everything with
me.
She
said you have to share.
Well, that's pretty good.
But she also has like little candies in here, and it reminds me of the things that my friends would pass out at bachelorette parties.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Well, that's just some of them, because I made these originally for my girlfriends because we're going out tonight for dinner.
Are you still with us? Are you okay?
What is he choking on?
I think I know.
The dust from the scratch off.
Yeah, stick with that story.
Oh, is that what it is?
What you're
really?
No. I did not have the candies. I actually just turned them into HR.
I don't know where you got those.
That's right. Yeah. For investigation, right?
I don't want these lying around down here because I know what goes on, right?
By the Tribune Media investigative team, you know, it's just...
I have a field day with these, Tom. I mean,
well, there's plenty of other stuff in there that's nice.
There's a bunch of WGN paraphernalia in here.
Well, that's nice. That's really nice of you, Violetta.
Yeah, I gave them some pens, some USB.
That's very clever.
There's
lollipops, keychains. Patron.
Wow.
Yeah, I got alcohol. Thank you, Violetta.
Yeah.
I'm so glad it's your birthday.
Judy, did you get one of these?
A little rum chata? Yeah.
Of course she did.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Did you save one for me?
Yeah, I have one for you. It's in the mail.
Mine is already gone.
You already ate the candies, did you?
And drank the alcohol.
I drank the alcohol.
You can put the rum chata in the coffee. No one's going to know.
Now this, there's a little packet in here that's got green stuff in it that it says Appletini. So I guess I just pour this into my vodka to make an Appletini, right?
No, that's not exactly where you put that.
No.
Okay. No.
All right.
That's more like a lotion.
Oh, it's like a moisturizer?
Mine says Bailey's and cream.
Wow.
I like Bailey's and cream.
Oh, it's an Appletini moisturizer.
That sounds good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you run the gamut. You have lotions, little candies.
Yeah.
The only thing you don't apparently didn't have, Violetta, is a bottle of water for Ro.
I know.
Poor devil.
Use that.
I'll tell you.
Open up the Patron, Ro. Chug it. Maybe it'll help.
We have all done that. You know, it will be in the middle of a broadcast, and all of a sudden, wham, you know, something
just hits you, and you can't get it to stop.
Yeah. We had a peanut or something that we chewed on, you know, 15 minutes earlier, and whatever's left.
Is.
This is more of sort of the shock, I think, of opening up the gift basket.
I like how you're not even touching anything in there. You're using the candy to move around.
He's got his surgical gloves on as he fishes around in the little bucket.
I just want to tell you that there are things in here. I mean, the things I'm surprised by. I keep going because there's a lot of things in here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a full bucket of things. It's like Halloween, you know?
And when you get down to the bottom, there are some things in here that I'm like, wait a second.
Are we allowed to give that at work?
We actually had one. One of our producers, I heard from behind the glass, was like, what?
Where am I supposed to put this?
Violetta, it sounds to me like you've really outdone yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I go above and beyond, and there's not a lot of things that rhyme with 26, so I had to be creative.
See, we ought to be giving you little bags of treats. This is your birthday, after all, you know? You don't have to take care of us.
Not to,
this is your day.
Not to redirect attention away from Violetta, but you had a birthday this week, too.
I did.
Tom Skilling. Did people bring you nice presents?
They did.
A lot of love?
Oh, Anna, we were so busy with all the weather breaking, and the flooding and all, but everybody kept coming in with pieces of cake. And it was marvelous. Sam Julian, one of our producers, who is a master chef, a baker, she comes up with these amazing desserts that she brings into the newsroom.
Are they the ones that look pretty as well as tasty?
Oh, they are amazing. She has things with little faces on them and all the rest. I mean, they'd be impressive just as art pieces, let alone things you could, culinary treats. But so Sam came in with one, and Jennifer Conkey, my artist, came in with this chocolate cake from a bakery up in Evanston, and it was so good. You could smell the chocolate as she walked in the room. It was one of those kinds of cakes.
Yum.
Like a real kind of real cake.
It was delicious. It really was. So that made birthday very special. I hope, Violetta, you're having some fun as well.
I am. My mom made me pineapple upside down cake. It's a tradition. Ooh. It's my favorite cake since I was a little kid.
That is delicious.
It smells delicious, too.
It does.
Well, Violetta's mom is, quite gifted.
She's a little Bucharest. I mean, if you go in there, she's doing it.
The food is fantastic. I know. We got a sampling at the Mark Sapelsa get-together. So,
that's great. So I want to say here is, first of all,
you stop coughing. That's good.
That's good.
So far. We'll see. And again, I do think it's, I'm hoping. I don't know. There's so many things in here. And I don't know what to do with it.
You're not sure what you're going to see next.
Just as long as nothing reaches out at you, Ro.
I think there are some things in here that could.
Really? Yeah. There are some living things in there?
Some things you shouldn't touch.
I see.
It's awfully, if there's something breaks in there, you're going to have quite a mess.
See, you can give those things to Creepy or, somebody else.
No.
Or send them out to Kevin.
No.
Yeah, Kevin will
I think you should just keep them. You can't gift them.
I swear to God, this looks like Kevin Spacey's 50th birthday party in here.
It's just some party favors on getting lucky and having fun.
Do you do this every birthday, Violetta? That's kind of a neat idea.
Yeah, I try to just do something different every year.
I really pray you didn't do this for your 14th birthday.
No.
Okay, all right.
I don't remember my 14th birthday. Yeah. Feels like a lifetime ago now that I'm turning 26.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is a long time ago. More than half your life ago.
My grandma was actually shocked that I came to work today. She's like, wait a second. You don't get your birthday off? I'm like, I know. Are these people nuts?
Yes.
But you know what, Violetta? When you have the kind of fun that you have there on the Ro Khan show,
you're right.
Why would you miss that?
Right. I wanted to come today just so I could hear you guys wish me a happy birthday.
Right. Talk about you.
Yeah. There's more fun there than there is anywhere else you could go. So that, that's great.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. All right. Look. I'm sorry. I don't know. I think it's scratch off dust. I'm not sure.
Is that what it was?
But if you actually won $50, I do need a cut of that.
Yeah, I do. I have it. You know what? I'm going to put it towards your dinner.
Okay.
What exactly is that anyway? That scratch off stuff. I wonder how they do that. I can see how that would be irritating to the throat if you were somehow to breathe it.
I should really not have sniffed the scratch off stuff.
Yeah,
that's true.
Right. Well,
but he won. He won a lot of money.
Yeah, I won $50. Yeah,
That's pretty cool.
That's basically one bottle of wine at the
put that toward the tab. See how far it gets you.
Yeah, but if you hadn't won the money, you would have already been paying for the tab. So I really don't think this is a fair trade-off.
But that's a neat idea for a gift. It really is.
We do that at Christmas. Everyone loves it because somebody wins. Sure. You're happy.
Boy, that's a darn good idea.
I got everybody Mega Millions, and then they win, and then there's a lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. Yeah.
And the family hates each other.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. I didn't mean to give you that one. That was mine. So I want it back.
Tom, I'm going to be out tonight. What's what's the weather looking like?
Not bad. Not bad, Violetta. If you go out, between 2 and 6 a.m., it'll rain a little bit, but it'll be light.
Okay, be home before 2. Got it.
Yeah, yeah. So, it won't be a bad night tonight at all.
And there's a warm-up coming, I heard?
Yes, 53 tomorrow. 4 of the next 7 days. Tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll all have 50-degree-plus temps. It's conceivable by Tuesday we could be close to 60 degrees.
Let me ask you a question. How do 5-inch stiletto heels handle the snow? Does anybody have any idea?
I've tried that.
Because there's going to be a lot of that clicking down. I'm not even quite sure what street they're going to be on. I don't even want to say. But
But as they're clicking down whatever, whether it's Hubbard or Kinsey or Division or whatever it is, that's, you know, that's you can always see that when they're when they've just tumbled out of whatever the dinner was, mm-hmm. and then they're ready for the club, and so whatever it's going, who ordered the Uber? And then they start walking aimlessly in a direction like a pod of whales,
knocking on all the windows on the car. Are you my Uber? No.
I would think anything that elevates you, even those high heels, might be a good thing.
Well, if it's a small enough snow. I'm taking that advice then.
Snow is a problem. Ice is a problem, but these streets look pretty good.
They are, so.
And about 4 o'clock in the morning, they show up at an urgent care center, looking at their toes, wondering if it's going to fall off.
I think high heels. Anna, do you wear high heels?
I do, and I find some of them are comfortable, but like when you go to the auto show and you're walking that much for like the first look for charity or something like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty tough.
Yeah, then you find a car and you're like, leave me here.
You're just
come back.
I need to sit down.
I think that's one of the cruelest things society has ever done to women. Providing high heels. They look miserably uncomfortable to me, but I don't wear them, so I don't know.
Well, they are uncomfortable, but beauty is pain. We have to deal with it.
Yeah. What was the rationale behind high-heeled shoes anyway?
I wonder.
I think it makes your calves look good.
Your legs longer.
I have a story about this when I was a little kid.
Yeah. You wore high heels?
I would sometimes break into my parents' closet. I put on my mm-hmm. dad's boots, or it's like his Air Force hat.
Right, right.
You know, like the hat. It was like four times the size, and then I'd go salute myself, and then it would look like Peter Beetle Bailey. But then I would put on my mom's shoes to make me taller.
Yeah,
and I would and then it was like, I swear to God, I loved the idea that they were making me taller. But you had to stand on your toes anyway.
Oh yeah,
because they're kind of angled down, mm-hmm. so it didn't really work that way. But I enjoyed wearing them to the point where they took me to a therapist. And it was like
your first visit
where it was my first of many where they took me and they're like, you know, is it okay? Is he supposed to, you know? Because I'd be wearing the
normal
Air Force, you know, hat,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? The cover, as they call it, and then my mother's shoes. I look like Klinger essentially from MASH.
Do you know what? The few times I tried them on, with same thing, Ro. I went into the closet. I just thought, what does it feel like wearing those? They look so awkward.
Yeah,
and mm-hmm. I couldn't balance myself, so believe me, there was no getting used to those or being attracted to those in any way, shape, or form, because they're very uncomfortable to wear.
I got used to them. Yeah, okay.
I got used to them. Is there something we don't know about you, Ro?
Can't you see Ro walking around? And,
yes,
there
I
would
can.
Be. Now that would be a conversation piece, wouldn't it? Ro Khan in high heels.
Yeah, high heels.
Yeah,
literally an Air Force Lieutenant Colonel's hat.
Yeah,
with the scrambled eggs, as they call them, on the brim. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was really quite a moment.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And wearing my Air Force or my astronaut suit that I was talking about, I had as a child had this astronaut like onesie suit that I'd wear that was made out of like
was
silver
that like
lame
a pajamas or was that a daytime outfit?
Well, it was a costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I broke the helmet, so then I would just go in and put on my dad's hat and then walk around in the thing like a flight suit, and then my mother's shoes. I was fine. There was not an
totally
issue.
Normal.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, it's totally normal. You experiment with the stuff you see at home.
Sure,
right?
Exactly.
Check out your mom's shoes. You realize you don't want to wear them.
Right.
Do you remember years ago those Les Doyle commercials where they showed you taking the sponge and you could get anything off the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw, I took my mother's lipstick. I was a little kid, and I thought, oh, I'm going to try that out. So I took her lipstick mm-hmm. and drew all over the wall.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And my mother came in and said, what are you doing? And I said, well, Les Doyle will get this off, you know. And I must have been about four or something like. No, no, she said. She didn't get mad at me.
No.
She just said, no, no, it doesn't work like that. She said, let me show you. And she went and got some. And, of course, to my horror, it didn't come off. But I learned something about some of these ads. Can you believe it? Remember, though, how they used to show that?
Sure. Don't try it. But in really small print, don't try this at home.
Right. And, you know, an impressionable kid watching this and thinking, boy, that's like magic to take this stuff off surface. And I found out it didn't take it off the surface. So, so much for... that was the last time
allowed.
I believed Les Doyle ads.
After the thing, my mom started to get annoyed, when I was taking her stuff and mm-hmm. trying to put it on. So
That was really an issue. I'm fine though. It's all worked out. It's,
yeah,
you know, here, totally well adjusted. Here I am. You know, two and a half marriages later.
When we were little kids and we played war, you know, what a horrible thing to do is. You look back on that, you think, what were you thinking? But remember Sergeant Saunders in combat? And,
yeah, right. Well, that's exactly because we would watch that show. And yeah, everybody would want to.
And you want to be like Sergeant Saunders, you know?
And my parents bought me. I mean, I had like a full arsenal of toy guns,
right?
You know, because I was. And every time we would go to, you know, Woolworths or whatever, you know, there was a case, and you get like different types.
And
of
And you
cap
never
guns.
Do that today. I mean, you know, especially in light of these horrors that we've seen happen, but. We were so innocent back then, you know.
You're walking down the street with a gun that actually looks like a gun, a cap gun, and you're, you know, shooting your friends with it, and nobody, and you know, and
people didn't think twice.
Nobody would think twice about it, right?
No, and it you know, we were again innocent. You know, we had no idea that anybody would take the real McCoy.
I will say this though: this
start blowing people away.
This idea that the president has of arming the teachers, I cannot think of a single teacher that I would, from my entire experience at school.
Yeah,
all 6 years of high school. I cannot imagine any one of those teachers being armed.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, the best thing I heard, Ro, was one of the Columbine teachers last night talking about that, and she said, "For heaven's sakes," she said, "if somebody gave me a gun and expected me to protect my students," and she said, "I would do anything to protect my students," but she said, "any of my students could overpower me and grab that gun and start shooting," and she said,
"her.
It's another source of guns."
It's only the special teachers who voted for Donald Trump. I think is the way that that's going to go. Yeah. All right, we got to run here. It's Violetta's birthday, and we already
happy birthday, Violetta.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
Tom.
Right.
Happy birthday to you, Tom. Belated. I'm sorry I wasn't here.
Anna,
so.
Good to have you back.
Good to
and I know Roe's glad to have you back,
yes.
Anna, because...
Well, he was, he's having coughing fits, and you might need some kind of, you know...
Well, not only... You have a magic... You know how to apply the medication on these tough days and all the rest, so this is good, you know?
Xanax. It's all Xanax.
Right.
I feel so...
I can't bake goods every day.
I can't feel my lips.
Yeah.
All right.
You take care of yourself, Roe.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right. Here is Judy going to tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. And Anna is back.
Back on Violetta's birthday, just in time to celebrate.
Did you cut your trip short just for that reason?
You know, I thought about it, Kev, and I thought Violetta would want us all to be here as a family together on this special day.
Yes, thank you for coming.
That's nice of you.
Yeah. And then thoughtful. I wanted some of the upside down cake, too. I thought that would be worth coming back for.
Pineapple upside down cake, my mom is the best at it.
Are there cabbage rolls in the goodie bags?
No.
Oh.
You know, let me just tell you one thing right now, Kev. Don't ask any more questions about the goodie bags.
Don't.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah.
You really have to see it for yourself to take it in.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Right.
The whole spectacle.
There's a Vanity
Good way to put it.
Vanity Fair is writing an article about the goodie bag right now. I think we want to just...
Can you not show anyone else? Just keep the goodie bag
don't
in
worry,
the
don't
show.
Worry. Don't worry. I can't.
Don't worry.
I won't.
Okay, good.
All right. Good to go. All right. Let's get back to the show, shall we?
Yes.
Dan Lipinski is a congressman from the 3rd Congressional District here in Northeast Illinois, and he is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And let me just ask you a couple things coming out of Washington, and specifically, Congressman, about this gun debate that is now starting to rage. Your thoughts on the president's proposal that maybe we start to arm teachers and school personnel to try to stop these kinds of events from occurring. What do you think about that?
Well, first, before I begin, it's good to be with you, Ro and Anna, and it's always great to see you out there at St. John Fisher for Get Behind the Vest, and thank you, Ro, for what you do for our police officers. So I just wanted to thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
When it comes to arming teachers, I think most of us like to always, you know, think very good things about our teachers, and most of our teachers are great people, really giving, you know, the service they provide, do so much to raise our kids. But I think arming teachers, I think, is a bad idea. So
I've never met a teacher I think I should have. I mean, when I think back on my teachers, and they're lovely people.
Great.
I mean, for the teachers that I really appreciate the most are the ones that wouldn't want to be armed.
That's it. My sister, my mom, all worked in the school system. They would not want to be near it. And I don't. I mean, I just you wonder. If there's got to be other ways to do this, right? There have to be other ways. And I guess, Congressman, I would just ask you: do you think that the president's moving in the right direction when he says he wants a ban on bump stocks and he wants to raise the age for long guns and increase background checks, or you know, make some changes there? Is that a move in the right direction?
Well, he's certainly moving in the right direction. I hope that he sticks with it because, as we know, he often says one thing one day and then the next day he changes his mind. And the question is he really going to stick with this and you know, essentially tell Republicans this is what we need to do? We talked about after Las Vegas. Supposedly everyone was on board, even the NRA was on board with banning bump stocks, and nothing's happened.
Well,
the president needs to follow through on this.
It was interesting when the president earlier today said, you know, he's talked to the NRA and they're willing to work with him on these changes. And then the NRA, within 20 minutes, issued a statement because we don't know what he's talking about. And, you know, the funny thing is that the NRA ended up spending more money on him than any other previous presidential candidate, about $30 million, toward his campaign. And they like him. They like the idea of him. They think that they've got, you know, somebody who is going to stick with them because he's professed his admiration for the organization and things like that. But then when he breaks the doctrinal thing, which is any kind of gun law, any kind of restriction at any level is something that is doctrinally impure for the NRA. And it just seems that he's stepped into something here that again, being a first-time politician, that he's not familiar with the whole process. If you come up through, I mentioned this yesterday, if you come up through a school district to a local municipality political position, then maybe to statewide and then to federal, you've dealt with this issue at some level, especially at the statewide level. And when they talk about state legislators and we can get stuff done in the state legislature, those are the folks who get really, 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 really impacted by the NRA's political moves, because it's easy to, you know, NRA doesn't have to spend that much money to run a candidate against you in a statewide election or in a countywide election.
The power that the NRA has, it's the money, but it's also the influence they have over in the way they can get some gun owners really motivated to get out, and they just, you know, stir up the pot and say, you know, anything is a slippery slope. I mean, banning bump stocks, what was so hard about that? We have outlawed automatic weapons since the 1930s, right. And essentially this just goes along with that. But you know, despite what was said by many people, many Republicans, nothing was done. There's so many common sense things that we can do that doesn't hurt the Second Amendment. Starting with bump stocks, background checks. You know, it has to at least be made harder to get what people commonly call assault weapons, although you've got to figure out how to define that. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me the last couple of days and said, "There's no reason to have these. We've got to get these out of people's hands." But we can't even get to things that seem to have common agreement on doing to try to protect people from gun violence.
Yeah, and there's different types of gun violence. You know, when we talk about this, this isn't a one size fits all kind of issue. And the you have urban gun violence where you've got guns that have been illegally obtained. Then you've got this kind of mass shooting stuff, which those weapons tend to be legally obtained. And you had the Las Vegas shooter. All the major shooters of the last year, these cases were all legally obtained weapons. Similar weapons, right? Mm-hmm. ARs and other things based on the AK frame that are used. These weapons that are easy. You know, the difference between fully automatic and semi-automatic is a distinction of the squeeze of a trick of the squeeze of the finger, right? Mm-hmm. And make these, and that they both styles of weapon have high muzzle velocities. They do a lot of damage. The actual shell when it hits you is not the shell, but the you know the bullet itself when it mm-hmm. hits you, it becomes a weapon in and of itself as it's tumbling through your body. It's designed to create as much internal damage as possible.
There's an excellent story out today from the surgeon who treated a lot of the victims from this tragedy, and he describes just that, how much damage they do internally to the bodies versus a handgun and the other kinds of injuries, traumatic injuries he's treated.
Right. This is not designed as a hunting weapon in the sense that you're going to go butcher your kill and eat it. You know, this is designed to drop human beings as quickly as possible and incapacitate them as quickly as possible.
Well, that was the original reason, the purpose that they were designed for. And now we have over 15 million AR-15s in the country, and it's become a popular gun. And some people see it, I think, as it's something that they a weapon that they want to have because it means something more to them than what they're gonna do with it. And it's
well, it looks tough. It looks badass. I mean, that's why people have them. And they see them in the people often, especially with the younger folks, are playing the video games, and they get that, they have that weapon of choice in the video game, and they like it, and they become accustomed to the idea of it. And the one thing I got to say, the one thing about this, and then I know I want to move on to a couple of other things here, but when you talk to this particular shooter down in Florida, you talk to the parents who had taken him in, his foster parents. Mm-hmm. And he would want to get they said, well, you he had 10 guns, they weren't aware of that, but in this particular AR that he had, they kept it in a lockbox, and the dad there thought he had the only key. He didn't. Mm-hmm. But they would come home and they would let him play with it on unloaded.
Yeah.
Right? And it's sort of like that is in a lot of ways, and I know a lot of gun owners who do that. They look at their guns and they clean them and they play them and take them apart and they pose with them and they do all kinds of things. But that's you got a kid who's got all kinds of other problems and pulled that weapon on a number of other people. There's responsibility to go around here, but if you're going to ask the federal government to get involved in something, there are responsible things that the federal government can do. Federal government can't go in and parent that child or put that kid into a mental hospital because he's playing with guns, right? Because then you'd be locking up almost everybody. But when the federal government does have purview over how these kinds of weapons can be distributed, and that's something to talk about. All right, very quickly on the other issues here, are you concerned? I know there's some other people from the Illinois delegation and the Democrats of the Illinois delegation, your counterpart just to the north, Mike Quigley. They're concerned about constitutional crisis developing here, Congressman, in Washington surrounding the president and the Russia investigation. Do you share those concerns?
Well, I'm concerned about that possibly happening. We never know what Donald Trump is going to do. He certainly has shown a lot of actions that suggest he does not have a real respect for the rule of law. Suggestions about who he might fire, about possibly firing Mueller. Mm-hmm. The possibilities for a constitutional crisis are there. But I think we don't jump to that. Don't jump to that yet, because there's an issue if we jump to that right now and start talking about it and fanning the flames of that. Then if it really happens, we have already, I think, divided people. People have already run to their corners. Those who are going to support Trump say, "Oh, you're going to do this anyway." We've got to first of all see the evidence in the Mueller investigation. We've got to make sure the investigation goes forward, no matter what. The president cannot be allowed to disrupt that investigation, slow it down, try to stop it. So we have to see what happens there. But if we jump too soon and start to rile people up here, we're gonna face more problems. We've got to see what the evidence is. But if the president does do something, that potentially creates a constitutional crisis. Congress is going to need to step in.
All right. Mm-hmm. Congressman, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Congressman.
Dan Lipinski.
Thank you.
All right. So let's now check in with Judy Pralak. What's coming up at the top of the hour news?
Does Congressman Lipinski have any relationship to Tara Lipinski? Have
we straightened that out already? Him.
We didn't get a chance. And well, I know his wardrobe is not as extensive.
I will say this, that Johnny and Tara are going to be hosting the closing ceremonies.
They're fun to watch.
They're getting their own reality show out of this, or some other kind of show.
No question.
All right. We have got WGN News with Judy Pralak. She is going to be bringing it your way, coming to a radio near you in 2 minutes.
Tony Bennett, the adventures of Tom Sawyer are about this person's adventures.
What a great, 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 great book. I can't remember the main cat's name, but what a cast of characters in this novel. Becky Thatcher, Huckleberry Finn, then there was that Huck's running buddy, a black fella, tall. His name's on the tip of my tongue. It begins with an M.
No, no, no.
It's an N-word.
No.
All right, you want to join us for our Saturday Night Live show at the Museum of Broadcast Communications on Monday, March 5th. You can do that by being caller number 19 or caller number 20 at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. It's going to be a ton of fun. Gain access to our broadcast, it says here.
So when you were over there doing the site survey,
yes,
and I used those little air quote things when I said that, did you get to check out some of the the memorabilia?
Some of the things
from SNL days gone by?
You know, everybody has seen this. There was an opening party, you know, a big fancy opening party.
I was
unable to attend because I had that thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody talked about it afterwards. They're like, oh my God, you can't believe this. It's such an amazing, if you are a Saturday Night Live fan or your parents were fans or your grandparents, whatever, it's three generations now.
Yeah, you think about that, right? It just appeals to a great range of people. And supposedly it's very interactive and it leads you through the whole process of what it's like to do the show from beginning to end. And I think that part would be fascinating.
Very great. Very, very great. Really, really cool stuff. So 312-981-7200.
Any Austin Powers stuff?
There is there's a lot of Mike Myers stuff.
Okay, couch from the Wayne's World set.
Yep, and you get your picture on the couch. There, that's in the construction thing, because what they do is they lead you through this. Again, we had the guy on who did this. Mm-hmm. This is the guy who curated and put this experience together.
Yeah,
did the Titanic. And King Tut.
He's incredible. When you started to think about his background, we were talking to him after he was on air. We thought, wow, no wonder this is so good.
This isn't just a bunch of stuff thrown together and you go, oh, take a look at this. It's an experience. It takes you through the experience. It's super great. If you saw the Titanic when it was here at the Museum of Science and Industry, or you saw King Tut here, that's a very special experience when you go to those kinds of museums.
And didn't he say that even though it has been in New York, the Chicago version is even better? And if you think about the strong ties to SNL and the city and the comedy scene, it just belongs here for a little while.
What is amazing is that there's as they have at Saturday Night Live, they've got the headshots of all the cast members.
Mm.
And they put them, it's on a wall, and they chose a very interesting place to put them. And it's very much, if you've never been to Saturday Night Live, and most people have not.
Mm-hmm. It's a very hard ticket to get.
This is exactly the same experience that you've got, the way they take you up through it. And they've recreated 30 Rockefeller Center, the way the hallways look and all that.
Oh, it's cool.
It's super, super cool. Anyway, so the pictures, the headshots of the Saturday Night Live alumni and current cast are all in a row based on the date of their contract.
Oh, gosh.
And you go through it, and it's like two-thirds Chicagoans.
Oh, neat.
Or Chicago experienced people who were, you know, came through here for whatever reason.
And you think of all the big names that came through Second City, then went to SNL, and then became major, major movie stars.
Correct. Even it's some hugest. I.O. people, not Second City people, but Improv Olympic people, too.
Sure.
Pretty amazing stuff. All right.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Yes, I know. If it's 5 o'clock.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one. Taflantis.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taflantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five. I'm not here for that reason. And I am not here because he supported me for president, although I appreciate that very much. I am here this afternoon because we are living in a pivotal moment in American history. We need strong, progressive voices in Washington, and Chuy Garcia will be that voice.
Oh, there he is. That's Bernie Sanders in Chicago today.
Major endorsement.
Chuy Garcia. This also helps Chuy stay out of the mayoral race. So Rahm Emanuel's happy about that.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's happy.
And this is Bernie's all a happy. Little village today that this is an open seat now, right? Because Luis Gutierrez is stepping away from his role in the House of Representatives. And it looks like Chuy is the anointed one now. So Bernie was there, and he, of course, Bernie did take an opportunity to talk about the president.
It's not just that Trump is a fraud and a huckster. If that's all that he was, it would not be endangering our country. But he is more than that. The truth is, he is trying to divide us up.
Speaking in Chicago today, Bernie Sanders also seemed to indicate that he may be running in 2020.
Oh, my God.
Thinking about it. You know, if you ask me, am I thinking about it? Yes, I am. Have I made a decision? No.
Don't Democrats have enough trouble right now?
How old is he again? 76. 76.
I have some bursitis and maybe gastrointestinal issues, but I am going to be running in Iowa again, regardless of who runs against me. And he never released his taxes either, by the way.
Oh, right. Forgot about
Remember that.
Remember that? Uh-huh.
There was something about that. My wife does all of our taxes, and she's been very busy making my clothing as well, so I could not actually do that.
He probably was going to release it, but he forgot.
What? Where'd that voice come from?
That's what you get in your old age, Violetta. That's what you can expect when you're 26.
You wouldn't know about this. The 76 is a little ways off for you.
Yeah. you got two more 26s before you get there. All right, here we go.
Number four.
Wayne LaPierre, CEO of the National Rifle Association, made an unannounced visit to CPAC this morning. That's the Conservative Political Action Convention.
Yeah.
And he ripped the media, Democrats, and even the FBI.
In the midst of genuine grief and a very understandable passion, as millions of Americans search for meaningful solutions, what do we find? Chris Murphy, Nancy Pelosi, and more, cheered on by the national media, eager to blame the NRA and call for even more government control. They hate the NRA. They hate the Second Amendment. They hate individual freedom.
He ventured out of the gun control issues quite a bit to call out certain Democrats by name who are 2020 potentials. Covered a lot of ground.
Yeah. Wait, there's a little more. There's a little more of Wayne LaPierre.
The elites don't care not one whit about America's school system and school children. If they truly cared, what they would do is they would protect them. For them, it's not a safety issue. It's a political issue. They care more about control and more of it. Their goal is to eliminate the Second Amendment and our firearms freedoms so they can eradicate all individual freedoms.
So this is an interesting thing that happens. is that especially when you have a Republican House, Republican Senate, and then, of course, Donald Trump is president, you would imagine that the Second Amendment is pretty safe and that gun freedoms would be pretty safe. That's bad for business if you own a gun shop. What's good for business is when people are afraid they're going to lose their guns. They go out and buy more of them.
It's true. It tends to happen.
That absolutely tends to happen. Mm-hmm. Not tends to happen. It absolutely happens. You can talk to people who own gun shops and pawn shops and other places where guns are sold. You can talk to industry people. You can look at the publicly traded companies and see what happens in moments like this in terms of when their P&Ls come out. And so you need a guy like Wayne LaPierre out there saying that they're going to take away all of your rights because it spurs gun sales. Because guns are like a lot of other sort of durable goods. You don't necessarily buy a lot of them. You have to create a need to buy multiple ones. But most people, when they buy guns, they have a couple. They have one or two or three in their house for hunting or whatever it happens to be. That does, and you buy them and you pass them down, right, in your family. So it's not like you're out there buying them. In order to continue to be a profitable business, you need to continue to sell them more, and you need to sell them to new people and sell existing gun owners more guns. That's where the profits are made. That's where the money is being made here. And that's what the NRA does. And then in the meantime, You got to create that fear that it's all going away. Otherwise, people don't buy guns. They're not motivated to do it, other than collectors. People who are collectors are people who have a lot of money and they want to continue to collect. They want to have everything.
Yeah.
Right? The newest of everything. But that is not the majority of gun owners. As a matter of fact, that's a very small slice of them. So then here comes Dana Loesch, who is the woman who was on the CNN thing last night. She's now she's a talk show host and
NRA spokeswoman.
But. Well, now she is, but she was originally a radio talk show host.
She was a mom blogger for a while. She had a radio show from quite some time now.
And now is the spokesperson for the NRA. And this is what she said at CPAC today.
They could change this tomorrow. They could change it today, but they won't. Because they're exploiting a tragedy for an agenda. Shame on you. We call BS.
Yep.
She is referring to the media there and said at one point that the media loves these mass shootings.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate way to say it. You hope she doesn't mean that. Because nobody loves to see children killed.
And in fairness, she said not because they love the carnage, but they love the ratings.
Yeah.
Which is not true. Because it just on its face. And she knows, she's worked in broadcasting, she knows this.
She's been a contributor both CNN and Fox, and she gets it.
She should know better because you don't make money in tragedies like this.
Mm.
That's not how it works.
Also very hard for Wayne LaPierre to call out elites when he made $5 million last year from the NRA.
Oh, that's the other thing, too. Just blame the... It's always somebody else. You blame them. Who's them? What them do you need this week? Elites. That'll be them this week. It's them. The elites. It's them. All right. At least, the good news is Coach Saunders is going to end up with his own gun. Again, I'm thinking of all the teachers that I've had. He's a guy right there. Coach Saunders should not have a gun. Should not have a gun. Tell you another guy should have a gun. Coach Nystrom. He should not have a gun either.
Bernie Sanders?
Mrs. Fitzpatrick. Now she wouldn't want the gun.
Mr. Pirtle should not have the gun.
Right? The one who should have the gun, the one I would trust most with the gun?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Fitzpatrick? She will not take the gun. So I don't know who's going to get the gun.
She's a lovely lady.
She was. She is. Still is. Mm-hmm. Still teaching to this very day. All right, let's find out now from Judy what's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. On your 720 WGN, we're doing a top 5 of 5, and we are up to
number 3.
Oh, it got awkward today.
Oh, boy, did it.
This is Governor Rauner, and
He was at the Thompson Center to discuss workplace diversity, and Tyrone Stoudemire, who is the CEO of Hyatt Hotels, was there, and there was a Black History, is Black History Month, and they were doing a discussion about diversity.
I think he's the diversity and inclusion executive at Hyatt,
and he is the this is kind of an interesting thing he did. Mr. Stoudemire brought the governor up on stage, and they did it was an analogy about inclusion, and he had a glass of milk.
Yep.
And then he put some chocolate syrup in the milk, and it sunk to the bottom.
Yep.
And he said that the problem in America is if, you know, you're in the minority, that often you sink to the bottom. And what you need to do here is we need to have policies and economics that stir up the drink so that it evenly separates out, and it makes, you know, and it makes your milk chocolate milk, and it spreads everything around.
It's almost as awkward hearing you describe
it. Yes, it's awkward. The whole thing was awkward. But then the governor wasn't quite sure what to do with all of this, so he had to drink the milk.
This chocolate syrup represents diversity. Women, people of color, people with disabilities, the aging population, Generation X, Y, and Z. It's not that organizations are not diverse, but when you look at most organizations, diversity sits what? At the bottom of the organization. You don't get inclusion until you actually stir it up. I want you to stir it up, Governor. Stir it up. Diversity is the mix, and inclusion is making the mix work. And it actually tastes pretty good, but I'm not going to ask the governor to drink it because it might not be good, but it does taste good.
Oh, boy.
He'll be proud, too. There you go. So diversity
is really, really good.
No. When our producer sent us that headline this morning, Governor Rauner drinks chocolate milk to show his commitment to diversity, I thought there was a News or Ruse headline.
Yeah, I thought it was part of The Onion. I was like, that can't be real.
No, here we go. And checking in at
number two.
Twitter was aflame today after Senator Ted Cruz decided to make a strange political metaphor about the Simpsons at CPAC.
I think the Democrats are the party of Lisa Simpson. And Republicans are happily the party of Homer and Bart and Maggie and Marge.
Wait. What?
Right.
Doesn't Lisa Simpson have her stuff together?
Right. Lisa Simpson
is
the smart Simpson who actually saves the family over and over and over again from their own trouble.
She's tuned in.
It's like he can't even give an insult correctly.
He's got it all mixed up.
Right.
Even a Simpson
exactly.
joke.
Like, you want to be the party of Homer Simpson?
The guy's a drinking beer. He's just lazy. Can't do his job right.
Yeah. Go for
He's
it.
Funny, though.
Yes, I do. I thought it made perfect sense.
Plus, they're yellow just like queso.
You know who I want to be like is Smithers. I like Smithers.
Jeez.
Senator Cruz, you should wish Violetta a happy birthday since you're here.
I think I will. What are you getting for your birthday? Something? Going to get a spanking? How old are you?
Wait, what?
That is so rude.
No, actually, I don't plan on getting that, but I'm turning 26.
That's what we did in my house, a spanking on the rear for every year.
Oh, that's a lot of smack.
That you have a birthday for.
No, I don't think I'm going to be doing that, and I don't think I'll be eating any queso either.
Oh, I do like white cream cake, though, so get all over your lips and get all over the side of your mouth, and then you have that cream mustache on like that.
Ew. Do you like upside-down pineapple cake, which is what we're actually enjoying for Violetta's birthday?
Oh, that's bad to be upside down. Oh, you were naughty. Don't make me upside down.
Well, thanks, Senator Cruz.
All right, checking in at... Oh, God.
Number one.
The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, Mighty Art Players.
This is great.
They've put together a birthday song for our own Violetta. This is Barry White's grandnephew, Larry White, who plays in a jazz club here in the local area. Not exactly the best jazz artist of all time.
A little loungy.
Yeah, but lounge singer. But he decided to do a little something special.
Oh, it's a very special day here at WGN, and I'm here in Suite 720 to wish somebody a very happy birthday. Bear with me, folks. Happy
happy birthday to you.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh,
to you.
Right to you.
Happy birthday.
What's her name?
Violetta. Oh, happy birthday.
To who?
To you. How old are you? Ooh. How old?
Shouldn't ask that.
Are you? How old are you?
Don't tell me.
How old are you? Oh,
been so long since I wished somebody a happy birthday, but I figure I should do it right here now. And turn the lights down a little low here.
Oh no.
So you can just feel how I feel. And get the mood right. Oh, may the good Lord bless you.
Too late.
Oh, may the good Lord bless you.
Be nice, Ralph.
Okay.
May the good Lord, oh, 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 bless you.
Ooh, sing it.
May the good Lord bless you.
Wouldn't do it if you saw the goodie bag.
She is very blessed, Violetta.
I am very blessed. Thank you guys for all the birthday wishes. I really do appreciate it. And I know I've made such a big deal about my birthday. Mm-hmm. But I think
you at least been embarrassed about that or no?
A little bit. I feel like I went a little over the top, but I just can't help it. And I want to thank my parents for bringing me into this world, first of all.
Oh, gosh.
It's like the Oscars.
I want to thank my grandma for helping to raise me and my sister for being my partner in crime all the time. But also you guys for making me feel special on my big day.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Thanks for talking through that.
The top five at five.